Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. About a decade ago, a group of dedicated film buffs decided to renovate and resurrect the oldest surviving movie theater in Tulsa and devote it to independent, documentary, locally made, and foreign films. The Circle Cinema was the first theater built outside of downtown and the only one of 26 built before 1945 that still survived as a theater, albeit one that was closed. After a few setbacks, a small theater was built next door, and plans and money were raised to renovate the main 500-seat theater. Well, numerous delays affected that renovation, but the theater plugged on, bringing in great foreign films, documentaries, and independent features to Tulsa, often with directors, actors, and subjects making personal appearances to talk more about the behind-the-scenes making of the film. Now, 8 years later, on the Circle's 85th anniversary, the renovations are complete, and now Tulsa will have three screens devoted to quality films. The Circle will cut the ribbon on its new reopening with a Made in Oklahoma Film Fest, a series of local shorts, Circle Cinema Classics, featuring some of the most popular films shown over the past 8 years, a special showing of Harvey with Tulsa's own Peggy Dow Helmrich making a special appearance to talk about the making of the film. My guests today are Clark Weens, the president and co-founder of the Circle Cinema, along with Chuck Foxen, who is one of the managers of the Circle Cinema. They'll have a series of events beginning on Thursday all the way through Monday the 15th, their 85th anniversary. They're here to join us to talk about that on Studio Tulsa. Clark and Chuck, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much, and congratulations on getting the Circle Cinema the way you anticipated it when you had that dream all those years ago.
Well, that dream almost became forever, we thought, at least in our own dictionary.
And now, Clark, I want to just take us back to, you know, the Circle Cinema had a long history. By the time I was a kid, I think it was showing black exploitation films and sort of B movies in the 70s. Of course, later it had a short infamous history as a porn theater.
It did.
Then we had Spanish language films for a little while, and then it shuttered up. At what point did you say, this could be a real community asset for film here in Tulsa, which has been the vision of Circle Cinema?
Well, I actually started out wanting to show films for educational purposes, and then bumping into George Kravis one night, he said, why don't we restore the Circle? I drove by and looked, oh my God, what a challenge. And we all need challenge our life, but that was almost excessive. But went with George, and we looked and called the gentleman, and he had a million calls in his life, but I think someone finally called him, had enough money to buy it, and CBG funds, and I presented this case to the city council that we could restore the Circle Cinema and bring it back and make it an attractive piece of land for Kendall Whittier to grow around, and we hope we've done that. It's just taken a lot longer than we thought. Thank you.
And it has been a long process.
Yes.
I know the original vision was a couple of screens, but now you have what, three screens?
Three
and maybe
screens.
We have a little space.
One, a small one that seats 50 called the Quad. So we have one, two, and three. The first will seat about 250, which is the one we're about to complete, 125 in Circle 2, and then the one that we've been existing and showing films in for 8 years has 105 capacity. So we're excited about adding at long last a bigger screen.
And I know it involved a wall falling.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody has their tribulations and troubles, and we certainly had our share. Case in point about that, we had never thought about even dividing that big theater, but lo and behold, one night a gentleman called me, contractor, and informed me that the wall was coming down. Of course, he had done something the architect told him not to do. He admitted that he was wrong, and that, and about 3 months later, he went bankrupt, and 5 years later, we settled with the insurance company, and we lost several hundred thousand dollars in the process. When you get as old as I am, mediation over a long period of time is not attractive, and you just need to get it done. And so we took our losses, and that set us back about 5 years. But it did envision us, give us the opportunity to divide that big original screen into two screens, because most of our films are not being seen by 500 people a night. That's not true at all. We bring a lot of niche.
Is that the original seating for the
515?
Yeah, and nobody sees a movie with 500 seats 50, anymore.
And these seats were relatively narrow. They were 17 inches, and we're now sitting about 22-inch seats. So times have changed.
Yes.
And so that was one of the factors that enabled us to put dual screens, which means we can show more films and find more niches that we can attract Tulsa to our theater.
Now, and Chuck, as the manager and the guy who sort of schedules films and things like that, having three screens now, I mean, this is one of the things about the Circle Cinema. You always show incredible films, like independent foreign films, documentaries. It's one of the few places where you can actually see a documentary in a commercial theater. But it had to be very challenging just to be able to shoehorn everything in when you had like one or even two theaters, for that matter.
Yeah, with the one screen, I went back and looked to see some of the stuff we've done in the past, and was I think it's pretty impressive all of the program we've done in the past through one screen. And when we opened up the second screen Thanksgiving last year, it felt so much more free in programming and like accommodating people. Like we had a couple films playing, and we could see all of a sudden play the same film in two screens and accommodate 200 people instead of turning away or whatever.
Uh-huh. So has that been a problem at times, turning away people just because you didn't
not
have
as
it?
Often as we like, thank you.
Yeah.
But we've had it on occasion. Certainly we have. And especially school children for our educational events. We finally reached a point that with only 100 seats more or less in that one screen, we were just fighting the tide. And so we kind of got off. We're going to be back into that program now because now we have the seating.
And that was part of the vision from the beginning. Was
absolutely.
Explain what your idea was about serving the community, because, well, I mean, I know at the very beginning you were doing this. You were having kids from local classrooms coming in to do, say, if they're studying World War II, you have a World War II documentary. If they're studying the Depression, a Depression documentary. And this is something you'll get back to now that you have
three
screens.
We'll get back more to it. We're still doing some of that. Of course, we're married to the Kendall Whittier School over here and still have all their classes coming over all the time doing things. But we want to make it more now larger in scope, geographically speaking. We have several. We have Journeys in Film, which is a thing about cultural awareness from around the world, three or four films that makes us all respect the differences in people and not dislike them because of difference. Don't mean you have to like them, but you at least respect the difference. And we'll be starting up Journeys in Film again this fall, and we're very excited. We like to think 25% of our titles, not the showings, are free. We're constantly doing that. We try to say free. That you may not see average, but we're going after niches that people would not come otherwise if we didn't show it free.
Now, with over 300 seats, or almost what?
Pretty close to 500.
Close to 500 seats. You could literally accommodate a whole school.
We could.
You know, with all three screens early in the morning.
Absolutely. And, of course, with economic restraints, you got to get them here and bus them. But then we'll start spending our fundraising efforts on programs in which we pay the school to bus them in. And we can do that. Up to now, most of our efforts have been generated towards capital to build the structure. Now we can refocus ourselves on programs, and we look forward to doing that.
Yeah, and of course, the other thing that the Circle Cinema has always done is you've brought in filmmakers, people involved with the filmmaking process when you have an interesting film in. And I don't think any other theater around here is doing that. That is something a nonprofit cinema does as opposed to a profit cinema.
Very well spoken. And we do that because we want to make it more than a film. We want to make it a lasting impression. That's what we do it for.
All right. My guest today, Clark Weens, the president and co-founder of Circle Cinema, Chuck Foxon, the manager, as Circle Cinema celebrates its 85th birthday and the long-awaited completion of the renovation of the theater, which will now have two main theaters in the old Circle Cinema shell. You'll have a new lobby, right?
Right.
Where you can walk in under the marquee now, right?
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
That's sounding great. Yep. And, of course, the original Circle Cinema and then the Quad, so four little theaters all together. And they'll be celebrating their 85th anniversary and also have a ribbon cutting coming up later this week. Let's talk a little bit about what's going to happen this week. And it starts on Thursday with, this is another project you've done. You've championed artwork in the long hallway.
Space right
yeah,
now.
In your gallery space. And you'll have the Tulsa Girls Art School doing an opening on Thursday. That sort of kicks off a big weekend of activities.
We're going to start off with the Tulsa Girls Art School, one of our neighbors. They do an art show every year, and they always do really well in their openings as far as selling their art.
What they do is they actually make art. They actually
absolutely.
The money they sell from their work actually becomes part of a scholarship fund for them.
In essence, goes right back into their own education.
Yeah, no, that is really good. Now, on Friday, you're going to have your regular programming, but you're also, for your members,
well, we have two attractions. We have a lot of people who have bought seats in the circle, and which will have a name. It's only naming in the entire establishment. It's just the seats. And they'll be able to come. Those who have bought seats or plan to buy a seat, and will do so that night, are invited to a reception. And I think Wild Fork's providing the food and stuff. There'll be a nice reception, and you'll have that opportunity to actually locate where you want your seat. You'll have a tag. You'll put it up, and it'll be recorded. So in a month or so, when we come back and the tags are in there, you'll know exactly where your seat is. That'll happen from 6 to 8. Then after at 8 to 10, we're going to have a members party, and that is for members only, and they can buy seats if they wish, but more important, get together as members. We have almost 1,000 members, and how many show up, we don't know, but in reception, and I'll let Chuck talk towards what we're doing for entertainment that evening.
Yeah, that'll be a little comedy show that we are working on right now. The local comedian Peter Bedgood, And they also have some videos that they've done online through Salmon Bear. They have a YouTube channel. So it's going to be somewhat of like a variety show.
Yeah, sounds like a lot of fun. Now, the next day, not only are you trying to serve the community at large, but you're really serving the Kendall Whittier neighborhood. And of course,
we like to think so.
And you know, that neighborhood has a long tradition of Hispanic residents. You have the Catholic Church next, just across the street that serves a Hispanic community.
A new bakery.
And on Saturday morning, you're going to have a typical Circle Cinema free event.
Right.
You're going to show Spanish language cartoons.
We are indeed. And actually, they'll be introduced by Miss Oklahoma Latina.
Katia Anaya.
Yes, we'll introduce the films. And that'll be from 9 to 11. In conjunction on the other screens, we'll have English-speaking cartoons, all free. And then in one of the screens, we'll be showing Flash Gordon serials that if you've never experienced it, which I'm old enough to say I did, and you were really anticipating what was happening next week, and every one of them ends up with a cliffhanger like you can't believe. And we'll be showing some of those free also. So if you haven't seen a Flash Gordon on the big screen or got the sense of what people saw in movies, say the 50s and 60s, there's certainly a chance. And again, no charge.
Now, one of the things you're doing, Chuck, is you're showing some of the shows over the last few years since the Circle opened that have been your highest attended. So I see Ladies in Lavender from 2004, The Untouchables from 2011. So if you would talk a little bit about some of the big films that have been at the Circle and what sort of determines what – I mean, can you put a finger on what's going to really do well in Tulsa?
I think that there's a recipe for a film that does really good at Circle Cinema. A lot of them are like period piece films.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes documentaries do really well. With the documentary, having like a local organization kind of help us out that champions their cause, that helps a lot. And then with some of these highest attended films, all of these to date have been when we ran one screen, and including Untouchables, which was our best attended film.
Ever.
Ever, okay. Yeah.
Well, give us a sense of some of the films that you're going to be bringing back for sort of the highest attended, the cinema, I think you call them the Circle Cinema Classics.
Right.
Ladies in Lavender, it was very well received and extremely well done. And it's, just English actresses, names escape me, pardon my ignorance. But they are on a seaside and during war, start of the war, and a German is washed up, a young German soldier. And it's a story. And I mean, it was very, very well attended. Another one we brought, which was really kind of a sleeper, my friend called me and said, you've got to show this film. You'll do well in Oklahoma with it, called Sweetland. And it's about German immigrants in Minnesota and raising wheat. And you just think it wouldn't be that. But it is such amazing, charming, emotional, poignant story. And their respect for the land, which most Oklahomans do because we are a wheat country, no different than Minnesota. And you see that transferring of that land of value they had in Germany now to America. And it's a heck of a film.
And you mentioned the documentaries that do well. What the Bleep, you're bringing that back. Yeah.
That was our first biggest film that people were, I mean, it was kind of reminiscent. If you look at like some of the old pictures of the Circle with lines of people outside and waiting to get in there. That was probably one of the first ones that we really hit big.
We didn't even have a popcorn machine then, and we were running out and buying bags of popcorn because we weren't expecting that kind of turnout and didn't know what to expect, thank you. It was our second show and a showing of a different movie, and it was quite educational.
Yeah. Now, you're also going to do a Made in Oklahoma Film Festival.
Yes.
I know that Home James is going to make an appearance. That they were on the show here just a couple of weeks ago when they—
Beautiful film.
And I tell you, it is the most— it really is. The cinematographer does travelogues, and it has that sort of beauteous look, and it shows off Tulsa in just the best light.
It's beautiful.
You know, it's a little romantic drama. It's kind of a slow-moving romantic drama, but the cinematography is just gorgeous, and I'd love to see it on the big screen. I'm definitely going to try to make that for that. But you're going to do a lot of other Made in Oklahoma films.
Yes, we'll do one I'm involved with, Bill Studd, which is the story of my brother-in-law, and more important, about the airplane and how we treated the Vietnam vets on their return. That's our one documentary showing of the Made in Oklahoma, and it was made in Oklahoma. And we've had it around, I've shown it down in Washington, New York, Chicago, all over. And we're bringing it back here for its first film fest. It will not be in the judging. Just for the record, we'll have the Daily Oklahoman, the Tulsa World, and Urban Tulsa will all be judging the other three films, which in addition to Home James include.
Left of Center also plays with that, and Rainbow Around the Sun. mm-hmm. and left of center, and Home James played at dead center this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something kind of special that we get to do, is we get to go to a lot of film festivals around, not just Oklahoma, but around the country, and kind of get a handpicked all of these films. And so dead center is one that we go to every year and kind of like see kind of the best local cinema.
And of course, when you're going to film festivals, what are you looking for? The audience reaction, or whether the film, I mean, the film, obviously the film has to be good.
I think number one, have to enjoy the film ourselves. It's kind of hard to sell a product you don't enjoy.
Yeah.
And that's first. And then number two, how will it react to our audience? I just remember we're opening a film this weekend called Hannah Arendt, about the lady that the banality of evil mm-hmm. theory that was after Eichmann trial and really changed the way people perceived how the Germans reacted during the war. But I saw that in Toronto, and I sat there for a while and couldn't move out of my seat after this gal gave this speech, and I said, you know, that's something that somebody else should see besides us, and it's been very well received around the country. But we go to Toronto and Sundance, and we're looking for films that we enjoy, but more important, as important, films that we think Tulsa will enjoy.
My guests today are Clark Weens, president and co-founder of the Circle Cinema, Chuck Fox, and the manager, as Circle Cinema celebrates its 85th anniversary and also completes the renovations, which opens the final theater of the original vision. I know filmgoers are really excited about this because this has always been the place to see independent film. And a few years ago, all of a sudden, the commercial theaters were getting heavily involved in independent film. But if you notice, that is sort of waned. That sort of waxes and wanes. And what's really nice is having a place where you can go see a foreign film any week, a good independent film any week. And I think that's one of the original ideas
that
behind
was
your vision.
In fact, we have people coming from OU and stuff that are seeing films. They're driving up here. We have Arkansas, Missouri tags in our parking lot. We're pretty unique. We're very unique in Oklahoma. And I don't know when to bring this up, but I just want to say this is not an I thing, I or Chuck. We have had such philanthropy in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that made this possible, that people literally gave us this money to make this happen and believe in what we're doing. And I had one person tell us, you're a good steward of their money. We hope we would be. And that's what we're here for. But it wouldn't have happened without our staff, our executive director, Stephanie, and all the people, plus all the volunteers, and people who've been involved, our board members. As you well know, nothing happens alone. You have to happen in a coalition, and that's what happened here. And that's why this theater is being completed.
So over the course of this coming weekend, you'll have the Circle Cinema Classics, some right. of the great films that had some of the highest attendance, the Made in Oklahoma Film Festival.
Right.
Then on Monday,
which is all free Monday.
Yeah, Monday, July 15th, you're going to have a lot of things going on. Also, as you mentioned, Harvey, you're going to show Harvey
because
going to do a question and answer with Peggy Helmerich.
Yeah, Sunday afternoon, I mean, Grace Kelly would be proud of this, because, to say the least. But our real movie dom of Oklahoma, Peggy Helmerich, is going to grace our theater on after 2 o'clock showing a Harvey, and will speak and have a conversation with us about Jimmy Stewart and maybe take some questions and answers. I assume that she will. But it's a very good film to begin with, and if you haven't seen it, and especially if children haven't seen it, it's just an amazing story about a rabbit. But more important, she stars in it. And yeah. Here's a lady starring in it who worked with these stars who can talk about it in the flesh. It's very interesting.
And that'll be Sunday at 2 o'clock.
Sunday at 2 o'clock.
Now, Monday on the 15th, which is actually your 85th anniversary, right. That's when you'll do the big ribbon cutting. Yeah. What's going on Monday?
We have a dedication to one of our Oklahoma filmmakers, Sterling Harjo. Mm-hmm. At 6 o'clock after the ribbon cutting. And we're going to show one of his short films, Goodnight Irene, following that. And 6:30 is kind of when we get a variety for everybody that's out, a variety of films for people to come. There'll be the short film from Sterling Harjo. There'll be a documentary about the Ritz Theater, the old Ritz Theater.
Oh, yeah, the Ritz Theater here in
we
downtown
Tulsa. We have a 15-minute documentary about the making of the Ritz in 1924. It's kind
wow.
of interesting.
Uh-huh.
We also have a shorts program from with students from RSU, TU, and Jinx. There's another local filmmaker, his film One Life for Another. And then we have a music series that we're doing once a month called Hip to the Music. It's pretty interesting. We start off with showing like a bunch of old, like kind of MTV, when MTV was really,
80s MTV, yeah.
Like really like cool old MTV music videos. And I remember when I watch them, it's you're like, wow, I remember that. And some of them, they're so distant in the past.
They become campy and kitschy at the same time.
It's fun to watch them. And then follow that with that Hip to the Music program. There'll be videos, and then also there's sometimes like a little documentary that plays with a music doc with it.
Mm-hmm. So. And then you'll finish up the evening
with Mazepa. And with the Sherman Oaks, who will be there to introduce Mazeppa. We'll do one or two of the thing, depending on how
Clark, much you're not from, you know, are you from Tulsa? It's Mazeppa, my friend.
Oh, Mazeppa. Obviously, that'll got a speech defect. The other. Mazeppa, pardon my language, of course. And I do remember recall watching. It was the biggest thing we did on Saturday nights. We'd all get together. We'd meet at friends' house or neighbors, and we'd all watch Mazeppa, pardon my pronunciation. And we... look forward to Sherman Oaks being there to introduce it, and that'll be free to everyone.
And so those are just little clips, though, I mean, because those are little...
Yeah, little clips. We'll probably, we've got about 45 minutes of them put together, and if they want another 45, we could probably do that. We've got several of them, but we've got clips put together. No, it's just a pre-Saturday Night Live, but very well done for Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yeah, and that also the ribbon cutting for the new theater will also take place on Monday. And then you finish it up with, you always work with the Starlight, concerts, and you'll be doing a silent film on the river.
On Tuesday night, the following night, we'll do a silent film. And again, all free, as all Starlight concerts are. We'll show it 1 week with Buster Keaton, and I think everybody will enjoy it. And it's kind of the way that we're wrapping up what we call our 1 week.
Yeah,
and that's why we're doing it that way.
Well, now having all the three theaters together, what is it? How's this going to change? I mean, you kind of alluded to it earlier. You said, you know, our mission has changed. We've gone from building now to
filling it.
Yeah, to filling it and doing things. What are some of the things you want to do now that you have three
screens? A lot more programming. Like, you know, we had Bully, and the Schusterman Foundation stepped in and supported us with free tickets. And we showed Bully to several thousand people in Oklahoma and to Tulsa. And then next thing you know, guess what? We have a law against bullying. We like to do more things like that, that we can make, not politically speaking, that we can make an impression on people, enlighten them, acknowledge our differences, and make people work together, live together. Sounds philosophic, but it works. And we wouldn't want to, and again, through film, it's always, every time the light goes off, a Dennis King would say, there's hope. If somebody either opens their minds or thinks differently or something, and our films are made to entertain also. Of course, we want to entertain people. But more importantly, if they can get a little education or enlightenment out of it, that's what we're here for.
And, of course, with three screens, I assume at this point, it's like when you have three films, there'll be one film showing in, you know, every showing time. Of course, that's been one of the drawbacks when you had one, you're trying to shoehorn.
Absolutely. We tried to keep a film over, and we'd have two films coming up, and we'd end up squeezing that film in at, you know, 9 a.m. in the morning. Well, if you really wanted to see the film, you'd be there, but most likely you wouldn't. Uh-huh. Now we'll be able to show films at much more convenient times and better films. And we are told by our distributors we'll get some better films, but we think we're getting the best already. So if we can get where we've been getting, we'll be more than satisfied.
Yeah, with another screen and more seats, it gives you a little more leverage with distributors of getting kind of like the bigger independent films. And I think with the opportunity of being able to do that, we'll also be able to get more obscure films, you know, bigger independents and more obscure. So I think it kind of opens up the variety of films we can play.
All right. Well, give us a sense of some of the new films that will be coming down the road.
Well, we hope to have Blue Jasmine, Woody Allen, and we probably won't have it exclusive. So once again, we make the plea, if you have a choice where to see the movie, movies are destination. If you'd make the circle your destination, we'd be most appreciative. And
We have the new Ryan Gosling film, Only God Forgives, that looks like it's going to be the trailer. Just watch the trailer of that. It looks amazing. Totally awesome cinematic film. It's going to look great on that new screen.
We've got Fill the Void, about Orthodox Jewish movie that's absolutely stunning. We have a film called Broken with Tim Roth that I thought just one of the best films I've seen all year. My wife and I watched them at home as we try to watch most of these, and it was just awesome. We just sat there for a while. You couldn't move out of your seat. The last 3 minutes of that film is as good as I've seen in film in a long, long time. And then we have The Attack. And that is a film, and not all gruesome films here, by the way, just about an Israeli-Arab situation that is really just so well done that it leaves you thinking all the time. But we have a multitude of films coming up. I don't have the list in front of me, but we'll keep working on that. And going to film festival, dadgummit, what hard work. And we'll keep suffering.
Somebody's got to do it.
We'll keep sacrificing by going to film fest, yes.
All right, well, we hope a lot of people come out, and really things get underway on Saturday, really, for if you're a member on Friday, but on Saturday, there'll be cartoons in the morning, which are free, the Circle Cinema Classics, the Made in Oklahoma Film Festival on Saturday and Sunday, and then on Monday, shorts, and I think you're blocking off the street at some point.
We are, 6 to 10 o'clock will be shut down at Lewis, will be shut down by the city of Tulsa.
Yeah, so it'll be a little bit of a block party.
Food trucks. And a band from Starlight is kind enough to bring up the a jazz trio that we'll have there. It might include some people we know here in this room. And we would look forward to that. But we'll have food trucks and a lot of things going on.
All right. Well, Clark, we wish you great success, Chuck, as well. And Chuck, is as we speak here, he's off to Michigan to bring back the seats.
The seats.
And the screen just went up
today.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Excellent. Well, we look forward to seeing three theaters at the Circle Cinema and an 85th anniversary. Clark and Chuck, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Clark Weens and Chuck Foxen from the Circle Cinema here on Studio Tulsa. The Circle Cinema will turn 85. Its 85th anniversary will take place on July 15th, and there'll also be the grand reopening of the newly renovated main theaters, now three screens in Tulsa. For more information, visit circlecinema.org. Events will be going on July 11th through the 15th. Here's the comments of Colin Hines.
Legend has it that three prominent mid-20th century Oklahoma politicians were running for the same office. They met for a televised debate, and at the outset, one of the candidates announced, "Ladies and gentlemen, I'll have you know that one of my opponents is a crook, and the other is a homosexual." One of the other candidates then stepped forward without hesitation and said, "I'm the crook." In 2003, the Supreme Court ruled that sodomy laws were unconstitutional. Justice Kennedy wrote the opinion for the majority. The basic result of the court's ruling was that it was no longer illegal to commit homosexual acts in the United States. Justice Scalia gritched that the court's ruling would lead one day to the unthinkable, same-sex marriage. That disgruntled and prescient man was, in this case, correct. Exactly 10 years later, Kennedy again wrote the opinion for the majority in the landmark case that struck down the Defense of Marriage Act, also known as DOMA, a federal law that defined marriage as being between a man and a woman only. Ultimately, the High Court nixed DOMA by ruling that the law was unconstitutional under the Fifth Amendment, which incorporates the proposition that all laws have to be applied equally to everyone. If marriage is legal for heterosexuals, then it is for LGBT couples too. Never have the words, "it is so ordered," at the end of a Supreme Court opinion sounded so compassionate. There was one sentence in the majority opinion that grabbed my attention. Kennedy wrote that a state law legalizing same-sex marriage, quote, "reflects both the community's considered perspective on the historical roots of the institution of marriage and its evolving understanding of the meaning of equality," unquote. Ever since human beings started roaming around in small bands, the barrier between them and us has been eroding. Bands became tribes. Tribes became chiefdoms. Chiefdoms became city-states, and then came nations. Fast forward to the present, and we are gradually becoming global citizens who recognize, despite our differences, that we are all human, and that we have far more in common than not. Jurisprudence evolves alongside this sort of cultural evolution, but jurisprudence, by comparison, tends to lag a bit. Paraphrasing one comedian's reaction to the DOMA ruling, quote, "as a moral species, we have made a monumental leap 100 years into the present," unquote. In other words, welcome to the present, people who fear gay marriage or fear gay individuals for that matter. It's inconceivable that 50 years from now, a politician in any state in America will be able to stand before a crowd, with cameras rolling and mics plugged in, and equate homosexuality with criminality.
Colin Hines is a local writer, attorney, and blogger. His blog is Colin Hines Moleskine, and he's a regular contributor to Studio Tulsa. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. If you missed one of our recent programs, they're available online anytime at publicradiotulsa.org. Just look for the Studio Tulsa heading, and you can search some of our old shows. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.